Hey everyone, welcome back to Why the Flick, a podcast where we watch a new movie each episode and ask ourselves, why the flick did we watch this? I'm your host, Claire, and this week, guys, I'm so excited because I am joined by like-minded millennial people like myself. It is Clarissa and Courtney from 30, Dirty, and Dying. Welcome, guys.
Thank you for having us.
I'm super excited to have you both on the podcast. You guys are definitely like in my podcast rotation now. I listen to you all every week. I feel like a very like kindred spirit with you guys, being that we are all millennials here. You guys say it like it is and love the name of your podcast because I always felt like the movie was so off from like what it felt like to be 30. So to be 30, Dirty and Dying feels appropriate.
That's what we were going for.
It is so appropriate. We kind of came up with the name because it was just some random thing that I said. And we just like kind of stuck with it.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, you can be 30 and you can be, you know, or not, you can be 30. You can be flirty. but yeah, you can be flirty. Why do I keep wanting to say 30? You can be flirty, but also I feel in most cases I'm like, yeah, I'm dirty and dying. So it tracks.
Yeah, we not just always feel against thriving. It.
No.
Yeah, it's like if you feel flirty and thriving, more power to you. But
yeah,
if you don't, that's okay too.
Like, yeah, and that's where you guys come in, and you welcome all the millennials really to listen to your podcast. So I'm excited to be one of those listeners, and I'm very excited for the movie that we're talking about today, because as the Why the Flick listeners know, we are doing Mother Nature is a Motherfucker month for the month of April. That is our themed month. And so last episode, we covered the Poseidon Adventure. So we were in the ocean and big waves and craziness and all of that. And the craziness continues, except not in the ocean this time. We are on land, more so maybe in the air, because we are doing Twister. And I'm so excited to be talking about this movie today.
I'm always excited to talk about tornadoes. if anyone does listen to 30, Dirty, and Dying, they know that I'm all about Twisters.
Yeah. Every week we go back in time, and most weeks Courtney brings up what Twisters were happening at whatever year we're talking about. Even if it's like, it's not millennial pop culture, but it is millennial Twisters, and we do that too.
I mean, it's important to know, honestly. Like, I think it's very, very good, like, facts to know what Twisters are happening when and where at all times, because then you know what might happen in the future. You never know. Keep an eye on that. But this one, to me, I don't know about you guys. Tell me if I'm wrong. But I feel like this is a very millennial classic movie. It came out in 1996, which I feel like is quintessential millennial time. And it was directed by Jan Dubont, which, first of all, badass name, Jan Dubont, incredible, love it. He is a Dutch cinematographer turned director, and his first movie he ever directed was Speed.
Oh,
I did not, know that.
Yeah.
Crazy. Wow. So he really likes high-octane stuff then.
Oh,
Speed,
yeah.
Twisters, buses.
He likes a lot of cars. I'm surprised he's never done like a Fast and Furious movie.
There's still time. They're going to make 400 of those.
Who knows? But yeah, he's only like directed 6 movies from what I could see on his IMDb. And like, I think almost immediately after Twister, he did Speed 2. So he's done both the Speeds and The Haunting and Tomb Raider Cradle of Life. So he has got quite a plethora of popular millennial films under his belt.
I wonder if he's going to be on the new Twisters that comes out this year.
You never know. I mean, I have not seen that he's been associated with anything to do with Twisters, much the same way as the original cast. I haven't seen anybody else from the original cast be associated with the sequel, but you never know what could happen. And that kind of goes into really why The Flick did we pick this movie, because basically I had the concept for this Mother Nature is a Motherfucker month picked out in advance, but on Super Bowl night, much like probably everyone else, when the Twisters sequel came on, I audibly screamed and was super excited, even though I don't think it's going to be good. Or maybe it will. Who knows? Maybe I should tamper expectations. But I was still excited. And then you guys shared it on your Instagram stories. And I was like, hey, I'm thinking of doing Twister. Do you guys want to come on the podcast and do Twister with me? And you were very kindly accepting of that offer.
Absolutely. As soon as I saw that preview, I put it in my calendar so I would not forget the day that it came out. I'm going to buy tickets as soon as they come on sale.
Anne texted me, by the way. She was watching the Super Bowl. I was not. And I got a text from her as soon as the trailer came out. They're going to make another Twister.
Yeah.
So
I
we're counting down.
I still am not sure what the premise of Twisters is, because I was like, I'm going to rewatch that trailer again and see. And all I really get is that it has Glenn Powell in it. And who else? Daisy Edgar Jones. And there's a lot of tornadoes. So that's honestly kind of all I really need to want to go see it. Lots of tornadoes.
That's pretty much what the first one was. Just a lot of twisters.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it lives up so far.
Yeah. It definitely has similarities. The other thing I was really excited about when I was rewatching this original one is that when the credits started rolling, I noticed that it's co-written by Michael Crichton, who wrote the book Jurassic Park, which if any of the Why the Flick listeners know, that's my favorite movie of all time. So he wrote the screenplay for Twisters, along with Anne Marie Martin, which I think was his partner at the time. But then also Steven Spielberg was an executive producer on Twister. So I was like, this is why I love this film so much.
Yeah, I didn't know Steven Spielberg was on it until we watched it on Friday just to get caught up on it. But we saw Steven Spielberg. I was like, wait, did I know that? I don't think I knew that.
I didn't
know that.
So it was a nice surprise.
Yeah. It was a double nice surprise because I love Jurassic Park so much. So, and this feels, they swapped out dinosaurs for tornadoes in a sense, because the tornadoes are chasing them instead of the dinosaurs.
That's like a perfect
synopsis.
Well,
they're chasing the twisters.
Oh, wait. Well, are they?
I don't think so.
But the tornadoes, I think, are chasing them back a little bit, too.
That's true.
I think describing it as Jurassic Park, but it's twisters, is the best description I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Of Twisters.
Honestly. Let me start by reading the IMDb description. For anyone who maybe hasn't seen this movie, I don't know who you are, but if you haven't, for any reason, I will read this to you now. It says, Bill and Joe Harding, advanced storm chasers on the brink of divorce, must join together to create an advanced weather alert system by putting themselves in the crosshairs of extremely violent tornadoes. So I'm very curious to hear from you both. What has been your history with this movie? Did you watch it when you were younger? What's kind of your experience with Twister?
So I actually watched Twister when I was way too young to watch Twister, probably soon after it came out. So I was probably 8 years old. So not a little traumatic. So I was actually very afraid of storms after that. I'm just like, oh my gosh, it's going to be a twister. Even though we don't live in an area where there are any. So I was pretty traumatized and I hated storms for the longest time. And then I rewatched it and I was like, you know what? I'd love to be a storm chaser. So this looks really cool. So it went from traumatizing as a young child to watching it later on in life. And I'm like, this is great. This is probably the best movie I've ever seen in my life. I'm going to be a storm chaser. This is awesome.
I feel like that is a very millennial thing because I have the same experience, but with Jurassic Park, where Jurassic Park scared me to death. I just did a recording about Jurassic Park with the Spooky Tuesday podcast, shout out to them, but where I relived my childhood trauma with Jurassic Park, and then subsequently now I'm obsessed and love it so much. So I feel like that is, it's a very millennial thing to be afraid and then retroactively become obsessed with it.
Yes. But I also think watching something kind of, I don't want to say traumatizing because that's not great. But scary things when you're a little bit younger, you can grow up to appreciate it a little bit more. Like I was very young when I saw like a horror movie for the first time. It was Nightmare on Elm Street.
Wow.
And I was afraid to sleep in my own bed for like a week. But then like I love horror films. So I think it allowed me to really appreciate it for what it was because I did watch it, was kind of scared of it. But I grew up to love it. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm weird. I don't know.
I don't think so. I think that's a pretty, that feels like a universal experience, maybe just to me, but I relate to that as well. But Clarissa, I'm excited to hear from you, like your experience with Twister.
I mean, I watched it like everybody else. I don't remember when. I feel like I was probably in high school or something, just like it's on TV and I watched it. And I liked it, but then I met Courtney, who was obsessed with it. So that's really, Courtney's really been my, I don't know, gateway drug into the woes of Twister. But we, when we watched it the other night to like prepare for this, I think it was almost to me like watching it for the first time, because I have not watched it in a few years. So I love it though. I think it's, I'm not as into it as Courtney is, like, genuinely, but I think it is, like, a quintessential 90s, like, action film, I guess, and I love that. I mean, it's fun. You don't have to think much about it at all, and I enjoy that. It's just a fun one for me.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's definitely leaning into the action. It also still has, like, some character development moments where you get to like learn more about these guys. It's not just like action, 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 and like minor details about the characters themselves. I think for me, like, you know how you watch, we've talked about this already, but like you watch something and you kind of make it your whole personality when you're younger. That was me with this movie. I don't think I was ever really too afraid of this film, but I was obsessed with the movie and I wanted to be a storm chaser when I was little. I was like, that seems like fucking badass. I want to go do that. And then I learned that I'm not great at science. So probably not the career path for me. I just liked the idea of it. I'm also from the Midwest. So we get a lot of tornadoes here. I'm like not directly in Tornado Alley, but like close to it, and already like this month we've had tornadoes north of us, tornadoes south of us, they're popping up all around, so knock on wood, you know, they don't hit us here, hit me. But I'm like very fascinated by tornadoes, and I think just like growing up in the Midwest, it's like yearly occurrence this time of year, especially in spring, which is partially also why I wanted to do Mother Nature as a Motherfucker month in April, because April to me is not springtime. April to me is storm time, because you've got like cold front meeting warm front, and when they clash together it makes a tornado. So that seemed very fitting for why we did this month. I also just want to have a little show and tell moment, because this isn't the DVD, this is the CD of the music from the motion picture soundtrack Twister.
I love that you have that, because I also walked down the aisle to one of the songs from Twister. Like,
wait,
it was,
do you know
not
which song?
Regarding, no, hold on, it's the Wheatfield.
Okay,
Wheatfield is the one that, so I didn't like walk to my husband. It was when we were like, after we said our vows and we were walking away, was the Wheatfield song.
Oh my gosh. That is incredible. I love that fact. That's adorable. But yeah, like this is the booklet that came with the CD, and it has like all of the songs, all of these like big name artists were had contributed to this movie. Like, here's a very 90s throwback for everyone listening. Goo Goo Dolls, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Shania Twain, Van Halen also on here. So yeah, I have no easy means of listening to this CD because I don't have a CD player readily available to me anymore, but I still hold on to all of my CDs out of nostalgia.
I'm very jealous. And I do have a means to listen to CD because my car's old and I still have the CD player in my car. So I would listen the crap out of that.
Yeah. See, I used to have an old ass car that had a CD player on it still, but I just recently got a brand new car, which I'm thankful for, but I do miss that it doesn't have a CD player anymore. But yeah, I think I also learned how to curse from this movie because I watched it at a very young age. And I have a very vivid memories of like repeating words I shouldn't have said at the time to my parents and then being like, where did you learn that? And I was like, no, just on Twister. I was just watching it in the other room. So yeah.
I just learned to curse from my dad. So I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I probably learned from my parents too, to be fair. But also media.
I didn't curse until high school. I said I was running late to class one time in like 9th or 10th grade, and I was like, I said shit, and I was like, I was like shocked of myself. I was like, shit. But now I say fuck every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Especially it's on the podcast.
Growth. It's called growth. Exactly. Well, let's jump into the movie itself. So I feel like we've talked a lot about our history, and we can talk about the movie itself, starting with this opening scene. And speaking of terrifying things that scared us as kids, does anybody else have like traumatic memories of watching this? Courtney, maybe just you have a traumatic memory of watching this opening scene and realizing, oh, I too could get sucked into a Twister if I hold on to a door too tight.
I think even as a kid, I realized how dumb that was.
Like, oh my God,
don't get me
you.
Wrong. This is the greatest movie of all time, right? So there's very few things that I find annoying about it. But that's one thing. I'm just like, do you really think you can hold that down so the Twister doesn't come in? That always annoyed me.
I'm glad you said that because that always made me so mad too. I was like, clearly Joe and her mom were fine, like in the back. So just hang out in the back, and Toby the dog. So just hang out in the back, and you'll be fine. Why? Dumb move. There's a lot of dumb behavior, honestly, in this movie that shouldn't happen, but does. And this was just starting us off.
Yes,
I was personally thrilled when her father was murdered by that wind, because. And Courtney can attest to this from when we watched it the other night. I was so mad that he didn't, like, make the dog a priority.
Yeah.
He was just like, leave the dog out there. No one cares. Those chickens got swirled up. Like, I know you can't save everyone, but the family dog. And he was just, he closed the door on it. I was like, I hope you die. He dies, right? I think he dies. Courtney was like, yeah, he dies. Don't worry. Thank God. I was like, he deserves it.
I forgot about the dog when I was rewatching it. And when they leave Toby on the bed and just they only take Joe, which fair enough, like that's their kid. But also like Toby just is sitting there like, what about me? And then thank God he like follows them and knows where to go. And thankfully Joe is like, Toby's still outside, and then lets him in. This movie does love dogs, I'll say, because there's another dog, Moe's, at the end, who also survives, thank God. So this is for the dogs out there. The dog does not die, I'll say, in this film. So yeah,
he's
definitely
carried out of the window.
Yeah. Very gracefully. But yeah, I think like even before the dad gets sucked into the tornado, it's like gnarly the way that they like set this up, because it's in the middle of the night. You can't see anything. All you can hear is the wind outside, and the way that it is like growling, to me, like, at least in my experience, my parents always told me, if you hear a really like a train, it sounds like a train, then you need to get like in the basement or wherever like is safe, because that's when you know a tornado is on its way. I don't think I've ever heard it growl like this, though. I don't think I've ever heard the wind get that bad. But basically, in the Midwest, it's either like go in your basement, go in a storm cellar, which is what they have, or like get into an interior like room and a bathroom and a bathtub for safety. But yeah, it still doesn't help.
Yeah, I mean, it probably growled because it was an F5, you know?
Yeah.
Have you ever experienced
No. that before?
No. So that's why it didn't growl.
Oh, no. That makes
it's,
sense.
It's at five.
At five, it growls. Everything else is just like, whoo, you know, a train whistle. High wind speed. Apparently, I was reading up about, like, some of the backstory of, like, making the tornadoes. And the noises that they used were for the sound effects. One was like a lion, which kind of makes sense because of a roar. But they also slowed down a camel's moan to make the, like, I don't know if it's in that part or later on, but it's basically like a camel moaning. And
that's weird.
That's very
weird.
I didn't
know camels moaned.
I didn't know either. I'm kind of curious, like, what that sounds. I guess it's the sound of the tornado if you speed it up faster, maybe. But yeah, it's that was interesting, to say the least. But
I'm kind of curious what they used for the sound when it was like the water tornado, and it was like that slurpy sound.
It was that someone did that. Someone did yeah. into
ASMR.
Yes, ASMR. I'm sure there is some like tornado ASMR out there. That's not for me to look into. If anyone else wants to, you feel free to do that. But
I'm
sure
pointing
it's
at Courtney.
There.
It's Courtney's job to look into it.
Yeah, that's your assignment,
well, now I'm
Courtney.
Now I'm just gonna reach out to the makers of Twisters and be like, look, I have an idea for you. Let me come on, and I'll just go, and that will be your sounds.
Courtney will be that. I'll just be, and then Clarissa, you can contribute whatever you feel like.
You can see the moan.
I hope that was good enough.
But yeah, dumb move for the dad to hold down the door. I do like how you never see the F5 in this moment. You only see it at the very end of the movie. You see like a little bit through the window of the storm cellar when it's swirling up and around, and obviously like you see the mass when the dad gets sucked out, but you don't see like the full scope of it until later on. So I feel like that was a good way to like tease later on the F5 is coming, and also like this is why Joe has childhood trauma. Which, fair. Like, if I witnessed my dad getting sucked into a tornado at a very young age, it would probably fuck me up, too.
Would you then become a storm chaser because of that? To, like,
again, I think
take down a tornado yourself?
Yeah, I think it's a very millennial thing to turn your trauma into your passion.
It's what the movies taught us, for sure, so.
Yeah, definitely.
Trauma to passion.
Trauma to passion. I do want to talk about this cast, because, I mean, this is one of the best, like, casting choices for a film possibly ever, but, like, definitely, I think, within the natural disaster movie space, because you have got Bill Paxton, rest in peace, miss him so much, and Helen Hunt as this, like, dynamic duo who have incredible chemistry on film and incredible charm together. They're so good.
And they're also so good at arguing.
They are very, very good. The way that they like interact together is like fascinating. They have a very fascinating dynamic, and obviously it's like they've been together for so long, pre going through this divorce. They like know each other in and out. They know their idiosyncrasies and all of that. And so every time Joe tries to say something which face value looks nice, Bill always thinks there's like an ulterior motive because he knows her and knows she has a tone with things at certain times.
My favorite one was when he says that, what's the Melissa? Melissa's a therapist, and she is just like, mm-hmm, yours? And I was like, that's great.
Yep. And then she goes, I'm not saying you need therapy. And he goes, what? She goes, I didn't say that. Or I don't know where you heard that. And then, yeah, I think they both need therapy, TBH. They need individual therapy and also couples therapy, marriage counseling, the works. I think it's so funny too, how, not funny, but like interesting how much therapy has changed, because you know when she asks Bill, or yeah, she asks Bill, what does Melissa do? He like is very hesitant to say that she's a therapist. And then that might just be because Joe is Joe, but also because, I don't know, it felt like it was taboo for someone to be like, I do therapy, and not just therapy. She's a reproductive therapist, which is ahead of its time.
Clarissa, you had a comment about that while we were watching it.
I just said that I didn't really, I mean, I knew that like Dr. Ruth existed as like a sex therapist, but other than her and pornography, I didn't realize that that was a job that you could like really have. So yeah, I mentioned that while we were watching the movie, but you know, good for her. I'm glad that all therapy is more destigmatized these days.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I do remember like watching this movie with my parents, and when Melissa is on the phone and she's talking to one of her clients and she goes, she didn't only marry you for your penis. And I remember my mom being like, oh, and looking at me and thinking, she probably shouldn't have heard that. And I was like, la, 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 la. I'm just watching the movie. I'm having so much fun. Nothing, didn't even like have any comprehension of that at the time. But another thing that I feel like has changed for me with this movie is that I love Melissa so fucking much more than I did. Like, I don't know if this was your experience, Courtney, but like, I used to think she was the worst when I watched this movie at a younger age, because she screams at everything and was always like freaking out, and everyone else was very calm, it seemed. But now in my adulthood, I can recognize that it would be fucking scary to get thrown into this for the first time, and everyone's acting like nothing's wrong and everyone's sane and she's the insane one. But no, I think everyone else is insane and she's the sane one.
She, and to be so positive about it, especially at first, like she was like, okay, let's go, like, not a big deal. And then like it became a big deal and she was like, I'm not having a good time, guys, like, we got to get out of here. But that's very normal, I feel. But no, yeah, I definitely thought she was annoying when the first few times that I've watched it. And as I was getting older, I'm like, you know what? I guess she's not the worst. Like, she's just kind of having a normal reaction to someone who's never been in that environment before. Like, I'm sure all of them had that reaction the first time that they, you know, saw a tornado up close. I'm sure that was their, but they're so like numb to it at this point because that's their job. Yeah. So just like, they would probably be like, why are you talking about penises to these strangers? That would be weird to them. They're like, don't talk about my penis. But it's just normal.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. I think, like, and even, like, I also don't blame Melissa for her reaction, because it feels like Bill never really, like, explained what he actually did to her, because she has this line where she's like, well, he didn't really, like, get into all of this with me. He just told me he chased tornadoes, and I always deep down thought it was a metaphor. And because, you know, she's a therapist, she's always thinking about that psychological aspect to everything. But yeah, I definitely empathize with Melissa a lot more. Also, I love Jamie Gertz, who plays her. Like, she does such a great job in this movie in particular. We also have like several other side characters. I don't have time to list them all, but Philip, I definitely did not mean to fuck that up. Philip Seymour Hoffman, also RIP, is in this movie as Dusty, who is a very eccentric man. I'll say that.
I love him. And when we were rewatching it together, I'm like, I'm Dusty. Like, we were creating characters of each other in this movie, I would be Dusty. 100%. Because I would just go up to everyone and whisper in their ear, the suck zone. I would do that all the time.
She said it like 15 times while we were watching the movie. Like, the suck zone.
Courtney, can you whisper it now? Suck zone. That's the other suck ASMR that we need.
Suck zone.
Oh my god. Yeah, I think Philip Seymour Hoffman is like so perfect for this role as this like zany, wacky guy. And the fact that he gets paired with poor Melissa, who is also experiencing all of this for the first time and then also has to experience Dusty for the first time, is quite a lot for her to absorb. But she takes it like a champ for the most part until she doesn't, which is totally fair. But yeah, love Dusty. I think if I was anybody in this group, because now you got me thinking, I would be the guy with the maps, Rabbit.
Rabbit.
Because yep. I was always like the navigator when my dad and mom and I would take trips. Like, I was the map person, which is like a big responsibility to put on a kid. But I was the map person. So I would be like charting. This is before we had GPS, guys. When you had to have physical maps, when you went traveling anywhere and you literally had to like follow the highways and figure out like when you could make turns and all of that. So I definitely feel like that was me.
Also MapQuest. Like when we would take trips when I was growing up, I was the one who had to print off the MapQuest directions and read them. And then if like you didn't read them fast enough and your mom missed the exit and then you just got like verbally assaulted for not being fast enough. That's millennial culture. That is millennial canon.
Yeah. MapQuest and maps in general. Clarissa, did you relate to anybody in this little tornado chasing group?
Okay, no.
Just wanted to check.
No, I mean, I like. Something. What?
You said that you were the umbrella.
Oh, yeah. The umbrella that gets just like completely destroyed. That's who I relate to. Because that's the only way I would be on this thing.
I feel that. I feel that. Sometimes I feel like I relate to the Jeep that gets thrown later on, you know. Can relate to abstract objects. They have feelings too, you know.
Yeah, just any inanimate object that got wrecked is me. That's who I feel like.
Fair. I think that's fair. Someone also who we have not mentioned yet, Cary Elwes, is in this movie. Jonas, you like, had very blank faces when I said his name. So
as soon as, because I know him for his characters.
Yeah,
because he's in a lot of things.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, I always think of him as like, first and foremost, Princess Bride, then Robin Hood Men in Tights, and also Saw, which I haven't seen, but I know that he's like in the first. Yeah, he's in the first Saw movie.
No, I meant I was shocked because you haven't seen Saw.
Oh, whoops. I know what happened. Like I'm on social media, guys, so like I know like the general gist of the story, and I've heard it many times, so I kind of know what happens. But yeah, I've never seen, because I don't like body horror. I am more into horror, but like body horror is where I have a hard time like getting into, but I have heard the first Saw is very good.
Yeah.
But yes, he's in this too.
Yeah. He's also in Psych, if you've watched the TV show Psych.
I have not.
That's where I saw him first. Well, technically I saw him first in Twister, yeah. But then I saw him in Psych, because I've actually never watched Princess Bride. So I'm giving you shit for Saw, and I've never seen Princess Bride, so I can't talk.
We both have our homework assignments after this recording. You need to go watch Princess Bride and I'll go watch Saw and we'll report back.
That's a deal. Okay.
But yeah, I too think I first saw him in Twister. So I was very shocked when I learned he is British and not a Southern drawl. Man, I still can't tell if like he has a good American accent in this or a bad one, but the Southern drawl kind of covers it up. So I feel like it is kind of good, right? Mm-hmm.
He sounds like a cartoon a little bit, you know, like a really, and he's like all, I don't know, his dialogue for me too, like adds to the cartoon thing because he's so like flippant, but in a almost funny way. So I think he did great as like the villain.
Yeah.
Maybe he would have fit better in like a Bugs Bunny cartoon, but it still works. It works.
Yeah. He is like very heightened villain. I wrote he's a little bitch ass because, you know, he talks the talk, but he can't walk the walk. He is very much, well, basically like started out with the group and then decided this is, y'all are not of my caliber and not of my level. So I'm going to go get myself some corporate sponsors. But even with all of his gadgets, he has no instincts. He's no Bill. You know, Bill can pick up dirt, sniff it, fling it in the air, and is like, I know a Twister's right next door. It's going to happen right over there. And he knows, like, that Twister's going to move this way and not this way. It's going to do these unpredictable things. He's the tornado whisperer, much like the tornado, you know, the, what did we just say? The suck zone, whisper suck zone. He's the tornado whisperer, connecting. But yes, I do love that Cary Elwes is in this. And even though he's a total dick and he stole Dorothy from them, I think I love like every moment he's in this.
It was an unrealized idea. Unrealized.
I really love your weather reports. Also, I was literally gonna, sorry, you go ahead,
Courtney. No, I was just going to say, I was literally going to text Courtney and be like, you better say the unrealized idea thing if you don't, because she does it all the time.
I love that. Oh my gosh. I'm going to start folding that into to everything I do. Anytime someone says I stole something, I'm going to be like, unrealized idea, and then go from there.
I also do food all the time. Food!
There's some great line delivery in this movie. Like, they call Bill, well, I think Joe mostly calls him Bill, but a lot of people call him Billy. And there's like one moment where Melissa goes, Billy! And anytime I hear Billy, I think in that specific like delivery, I think of the hot chick. And I don't know if you guys have seen the hot chick, but basically, how do I explain this? What's his name plays the woman, like it's a body swap film basically. And so Billy is played by Matthew Lawrence. And as Matthew Lawrence walks away from this guy, who's actually a woman on the inside, who is that's his name? Rob Schneider. Sorry. I'm explaining this really bad, but Rob Schneider goes Billy as he walks away. And I always, that's anytime I hear Billy now, I feel like I think of that. So that was a tangent. Sorry guys.
No, it's okay. Whenever I think of hot chicks, I go, it's me, Jessica. And I say that. I also say that all the time.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, I want to talk a little bit about Dorothy. I feel like I love the Wizard of Oz references that we get in this movie, which now might seem corny, but I feel like it's really cool in this movie when they come up, because we already had, well, I was about to call him Toto, but it's Toby. But Toby looks like the dog from Wizard of Oz. Mm-hmm. And then we also have Dorothy, who is this like instrument that they're using to study tornadoes, because nobody knows what happens inside a tornado. So wouldn't it be great if we could take measurements on the inside? But the caveat is we have to get really, really close to the tornado and drop it in the suck zone, danger path. And hopefully by some means it will work. Spoiler, it hardly works ever in this movie, but it does at the end finally, thank God. But like the goal here is so that they can create more advanced warning systems and give people more time to get to cover, which I like in a sense that they don't really like explain it too heavily why Joe wants to do this, because you realize the reason she's doing this is because of the trauma of losing her dad, and like they didn't have enough time, well, although they kind of did, like eventually get down into the cellar.
It was the stupidity of her father, and that's why he died.
And maybe if she went to therapy, the therapist could help her unpack that versus thinking she needed more time to get away from the tornado. But whatever, that this is where she's landed in the present day. So this is really why she's exploring doing this and is so freaking obsessed with like getting it to work, even at the expense of her own life, at bills, at her cruise. Like it's going pretty bad.
I mean, I think it would be way better if she would have just gone to therapy and gotten some help and dealt with her dead daddy issues. And who knows, she could have been a lawyer or a doctor or a cashier. But
a cashier?
I don't know, something low-key, but she would have never met Bill, so aww. I don't know.
Well, that's kind of
no
sad.
Love's lost, I guess. Worked out.
Wait, I do like them. I mean, I like them together. I don't know if they're healthy together, but no. I do like them together.
I love
they're
them together.
Twisted
I think they're
up
good.
In love.
They really are.
But um,
see what I did there?
I see. Yeah, I think like I said, they don't really explore. She doesn't really like share a lot about the experience. It's all very hush hush, which is like fair. Like she shouldn't have to like talk about her trauma to everyone all the time, but it is starting to affect the group in just how like obsessed she gets, like even wanting to see the tornado, wanting Dorothy to work so bad when it's clearly not going to work. They just don't like really set themselves up for success in any instance of trying to even use Dorothy. But I think the scene when she like finally does have her outburst after the F3 on the hill and it's like coming in and leaving and being a wily little motherfucker, is when she and Bill have their like really emotional fight. And I really like Helen Hunt's acting in this scene, because like when she goes, "You've never seen it." And she doesn't just say "you've never," like her voice like cracks and like gets really high pitched, and she just is like freaking out so much and so upset and so emotional in that moment. And then when she says to Bill, "You've never seen it, miss that house and that house and come after you." So like that's how she has internalized what has happened to her, is that the tornadoes have a motive to come after her, when it was really, like as Bill said, unexplainable, unpredictable. And now you're putting yourself in a situation where you're going to kill yourself, and that's not going to bring your dad back to you. And also, by the way, I'm here. Hey, it's me. I'm right here in front of you. And even though I have my fiance Melissa nearby as well, which is super awkward. But yeah, I think it's just like a very heightened scene that they both kind of share their feelings with each other.
Feelings that they should have shared a long time ago. Because they never really talked about how long they were married before they started the divorce process. Mm-hmm. So, like, I feel like that conversation, especially about, like, her dad and the trauma that she had, if anything, could have just been talked to him about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that. I just feel like that's a relationship conversation that they should have had a long time ago.
When you get the sense that, like, he says to her when they are arguing in the truck earlier on, when they're like veering off the road, he's like, "I may have been the one who left, but like you were also like, it takes two to tango essentially. And like, you were not, I really don't know why they decided to get a divorce, other than like, it seems they have very volatile fights and like do not get along. A lot of the time, so they probably have different approaches to how they want to deal with handling the tornadoes, where she's very, very much like hands-on and wants to almost live inside the tornado. She's so obsessed with it, whereas he's like a little bit more, takes a back seat. But then she also explains, like, you have an inability to commit, which he throws back at her as well. But then also she says that he can't finish things. So they don't see eye to eye, which I'm guessing is what led to them getting a divorce.
And
I do kind of low-key wish that we would have gotten like a flashback or something into them being married. It wouldn't have really helped the movie as it stands, but I need it. Like, I need to know
like maybe just when he left or I don't know, like whatever. I would just love to see like how it actually ended, because it's clear that they're in a toxic relationship, like you said. But I don't know. I would have just liked to know how that breakdown happened, just for my own purposes. So maybe they should put like a cutscene in the new one just for me to know.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're out there. They'll be like, hey, just in case you all wanted to know, maybe that's what the, maybe Twisters is actually, they say it's a sequel, but it's actually a prequel to Joe and Bill getting a divorce.
That would be amazing.
I kind of feel like it's their kids.
That's what I think it is too. At least like what I've heard or tried to read up on.
I mean, it makes sense, especially since Bill's not around. So it's like their kids and the trauma of Bill being dead.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they're chasing tornadoes. I had to do what my dad did.
Yeah. I also was like, I don't know why it took me so long to realize, oh, it's Bill Paxton. And his character's name is also Bill in this, which I think is very crazy. I don't know why that sounds crazy, but it is to me. Whenever actors have the same names as their characters, I'm like,
It's easier to not mess it up.
Yeah, true. Very true. And like, apparently, I was reading just about some background on the film. Like, at the time, Bill Paxton, it's so crazy to think about this now, but like, Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt were kind of like not that known at the time, and like they were Jan de Bont's first choices for playing these leads. Like, he picked a lot of actors who were relatively unknown at the time, because then you don't have to like have like a bunch of money to have to pay like big name actors, but then also like I think it makes it feel a little bit more realistic. And now looking back, it's like, okay, well, Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt, like, yeah, they're fucking big name celebrities, but at the time they were kind of like not as big as they are now. But yeah, I think we should talk about the tornadoes themselves. The real stars of Twister are these tornadoes. And I think they do a good job of explaining why there are so many tornadoes. Because if you think about it, this all happens in a span of like 24 hours. Other than her dad in the beginning, all of this is within like pretty much a 24-hour period, which is wild to me to like wrap my head around. But they kind of mentioned in the beginning, there's a record outbreak of tornadoes. Like, we're going to see so many tornadoes in this span of time. And you literally see like four tornadoes in one day and then one big one the next. So yeah, they definitely, I think that to me is fine, like a fine explanation, because really in real life, like, tornadoes aren't popping up this rapidly. Like, yes, they do pop up a lot during spring and summer time in Tornado Alley, but I think this like excuse was fine for me. And we get more tornadoes, which was fun.
Rewatching it, knowing that it's was made in the 90s, I was shocked at how good the tornadoes looked.
Yeah.
Like, the CGI like was very good, especially for that time. Like, they looked like tornadoes. Maybe not sounded like great. Them, but they definitely looked like them.
Or, no, they looked
or
great.
Slurpy slurp. Yeah, I think like they looked hella good. Like, and I think at the time in the 90s, I thought they looked really good, and even in like present day, I think they look really good. And I read up on like how they even like went about making the tornadoes. So again, another Jurassic Park throwback, but who was also like very good at making CGI dinosaurs. But the people who made the dinosaurs also made the Twisters in Twister. So they like definitely, and that Jurassic Park was 1993, so they had three more years to like really refine the tool for Twister. But basically, like, even before they could finance Twister, they had to show proof of concept that they could actually make a tornado, CGI tornado, and have it look believable. And so Spielberg stepped in and was like, I have experience with this. Let me show you. So he asked Industrial Light Magic to create the CGI tornado, and they did. And people were like, oh my God, this looks so real. we're like signing all the checks, like let's get this movie made. And it does like look so freaking real. I think in part because they also referenced a lot of real footage. And if you think about it at the time in the 90s, like, yeah, we had real footage of tornadoes, but it's all on these like shaky camcorders. So it's like not great video quality. You know, they didn't have like iPhones back then. But still like they, and each tornado is so like distinct and unique that it really keeps you interested to see like, well, what's the next one gonna be like, guys?
Yeah, I completely agree with that, with how distinct they were. And they referenced different names for them all, too. Like, what was the name for the one that, like, kept disappearing and coming back?
So there's, like, the... Do you mean, the like, the Fujita scale of, well, like, no. how they classify
like
them?
They actually, or like little names, like the Sidewinder. And, like, they actually had names for each... Each one, like the twins when they were in the water.
We've got sisters.
Yeah. And then the Sidewinder is the one that like moved from one direction that it was going into the other direction. And then the one that kept going back up and came back down. They said something and I completely forget it now.
I think they said back building, but I don't know if that's like, they said back building at one point with the one that kept going, disappearing and reappearing. But I have my own personal names for all the tornadoes as well. So that one I call the mystery tornado because sometimes it's here, sometimes it's not. It surprises you.
I love that.
But yeah, I think they also, one thing I really like too is that with the Fujita scale of how it like measures a tornado, I think maybe it's a little... obvious, but I like that we see the progression of the tornadoes throughout the movie. So like the first tornado we see is the F1, and then the second one's F2, then F3, all the way till the end when we get the F5. And that might be convenient, but also I think it's really cool that we get to just see the differences. And that's what the director wanted to do, was just to like show you what a small tornado can do, which also like small tornado is still like wiping out a barn and picking up a Jeep and tossing it around. So like it's still does a lot of damage, but showing like what that can do versus the behemoth at the very end is cool. And I like every time you see the tornado, it does this like eerie choir sound where it's like, oh, and just to show the like, I guess like, craziness of the twisters on screen too, which is cool.
Yeah, it's like that it was like always building and towards like the... What were you saying, Clarissa? Sorry.
I was just saying I like that it was always like building towards, like as you're watching it, even if you've seen it, you're like, I can't wait to see the F5. It's like the that build up is, I mean, it's a movie. Like you said, it's convenient, but it's a movie. You want something, some kind of climax that you're waiting for, and that certainly is it. So I really like that. It keeps you interested. But go ahead, Courtney.
Yeah, and with the sound, the music, the like choir that you're talking about, like, and then that eerie like silence, it really like builds the person watching. Like it's almost like you stop breathing, and then it just like happens, and like that's good movie making right there.
Yeah, that's cinema, baby. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think like talking through these different tornadoes, like the F1, I call that the baby tornado. This little baby, little F1, just does a little bit, it's just a baby. It does a little damage. Stupidest thing though that they could have decided to do in that moment was drive through that fucking ditch.
But I don't see, we're watching back again. I'm not shitting on it. It's my favorite movie of all time, but. I don't see how that little wooden pole in that mud is going to just stay there when it's going to move a whole truck.
Yeah. There's definitely moments where you're like, huh, they would have definitely gotten sucked up in there.
Oh, there's so many inconsistencies. Like, not to skip us ahead, but I know that Courtney's husband especially has a big problem with the ending that she is so mad about, like with the belts.
Oh.
And how that makes absolutely no sense. How the last belts. Tornado, the F5.
Oh, yeah. He hates that.
Like,
I mean, not just the belts, but also with the F5, when they're in the red truck and then the big, like the huge, like, gas truck that's like falling and being picked back up, they're mm-hmm. right there, but it's not picking them up. It's just picking the massive, like, 18-wheeler up and not their, you know, four-wheel truck. So yeah. he hates that because he's like, they would also get sucked up. And yeah. then he hates the belt. Like, how is this little leather belt going to keep you from an F5 tornado?
Leather's strong, baby. I don't know. I don't know. There's definitely, yeah, I could definitely see moments of inconsistencies for the sake of, like, just telling the story and like moving the movie along. Like if they got sucked up in that instance, it's like, okay, it's over. Bye. The end. but yeah, I think you sometimes like you, I think in movies, especially like with natural disaster movies, sometimes you have to suspend your disbelief and just say like, well, that's how the movie's moving forward. But definitely you can notice that there are certain inconsistencies with how this would actually play out in real life.
Right. I mean, a movie is entertainment. That's what it is there. It's not giving you, it's not a documentary.
No.
It's not spitting out facts to you. Like, you're there to have a good time and to watch a movie about tornadoes. That's it.
Yeah. It's not for me to understand the logic. It's for me to enjoy.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, love the little baby tornado. Love the water spouts. I'm spending too long talking about sprouts versus spouts, but yeah, little water tornadoes that like come up, and that's when we get the infamous cow scene, which is like, the if you know nothing else about this movie, you know about the cow scene for sure.
Cow.
My favorite part is when it's like the cow goes by, there's like 30 seconds it feels like, and she goes cow, and then it happens again, another cow, like
no, it's the same cow.
Oh, okay. Well, but it's like delayed narration, and it's just like so hilarious to watch. Like, cow.
Just like randomly, cow comes by. And I love how Melissa's on the phone with her client, and she goes, I gotta go, Julia. We got cows.
We got cows.
And-
the dialogue is like, I mean, in some ways, if I was gonna be like a mean Rotten Tomatoes critic, some ways it's terrible. But it's also, like, part of why I love the movie. Like, it's so funny. I don't know how much of it's supposed to be funny. I feel like a lot. I feel like this movie knows what it is. And yeah. I love that. Like, and I love the dialogue for that. Like, especially the, like, I gotta go, we got cows. Perfect example of, like, what is this? But it's great.
I know. It's, like, this very intense moment where they're driving down. And, like, they've got two tornadoes on one side, another on the other side of this, like, I don't know, lake that they're freaking driving over. I don't know where this is in the world, but then to also just randomly have a cow come by mooing, it's so funny.
Out of all the places that they decided to put the cow is with the water.
Yeah. Cows, where, notorious swimmers.
Yeah, where was the pasture? I don't know.
Pasture well, in the apparently, sky now.
Yeah, apparently, like, that they decided to do the cow because there have been at least one like news story about a farmer who found his cows like miles away after a tornado. So like the cows, I guess, were picked up and then put down ever so gracefully, maybe by the tornado. I don't know. I don't know if the cows were alive or dead. Oh, clever. I love that.
And they bring all the boys to the yard.
They do. And they're like, it's better than yours.
Damn right.
But yes, again, another stupid decision for them to keep driving. I know they're trying to like get ahead of it so that they can put Dorothy down. But then like the Twisters are like, nah, we got you, and come straight at them and just spin them around this time. versus like actually picking them up. But that's also like really cool. Like, it's so interesting to like see how this movie got made as well, because not just the digital tornadoes that they're making, but like everything we see is literally filmed on location. Like, they really didn't use a lot of sound stages, so all of this is like they're filming them actually driving, they're filming the car spinning, and then later on in post-production they're like adding the twister on top of it. So like they really did a lot to bring that like practical effect into it as well.
How did they spin the truck? They're just doing donuts in the mud.
Yeah. I don't know how. I'm sure there's like maybe some sort of tool they were using to get it to like spin around and around, but then they must have like maybe erased things. And I don't know. I don't make movies.
Bill Paxton's like, don't worry, guys, I got this.
I'll show you a twister.
But yeah, like a lot of the wind, and this is more so like in the mystery tornado, the one that keeps appearing and disappearing, but when they get the hail that comes down, like that was actual ice that they were like grinding using a truck to like spit out the hail. And then they were also using a Boeing 707 jet motor to create the wind and debris that was flying around. So like that was all practically made. The tanker truck that we just had mentioned falling and exploding was real. Like that was a real practical effect that they did. So much, like so many practical. And then I'll save the one of my favorite practical effects for the F5 at the very end. But yeah, like they really like put everything that they had into making it feel as believable as possible.
Did they really run into a house? Like drive through a house? Was that practical?
Yeah, so what they did was some of the house was CGI, but like them actually driving into it and then driving out of it. They didn't build the whole house, but they built like a framework for the car to like drive out of it. So I think it was a blend of like practical and CGI. But when it's driving through the inside, that was all practical. They built those sets and had the car drive through those sets. Because I had to buy this movie because it wasn't readily available, so I bought it, and it came with all these like special bonus features. So one of them was the making of, so I got to watch it and see them actually like how they like set up the inside of the house set and had the car drive through it, which was really cool.
I need to watch that.
It was awesome. Very, very cool. But yeah, I think I'm torn between which is my favorite tornado, but it might be the drive-in theater tornado.
Yes,
that was probably my favorite.
Because it's there. Well, there was no like alarm at all. So like they're literally just in the pitch black because drive-in theater, you can't have lights everywhere. And then it's just there. And that, I mean, that's not cool. That's actually really scary. But well, it just like how they did it was great.
Yeah.
I feel like it brings you back too to like what they're why they're doing this. Like it reminds you that they want to help people and why this can happen. Because before that, it's like you get kind of lost in like, man, what a fun adventure movie with wind. But this one, but then it's like scary and it gets really real for a second. And it reminds you what they're going for here and why they're like Dorothy and all the weather marbles or whatever are important. And it kind of sets it back on track to get you to the end of the movie, which I liked. I was like, okay, it kind of refocuses you as an audience member.
Yeah, because this is also like the first tornado, other than the one at the very beginning, obviously, with her dad. But this one is the first time we're actually seeing a tornado come devastate people. Like all the other ones have been like in an open field or on a road nobody's driving down or in this like water landscape. But this one is the first time where it's like, nope, this is a drive-in theater. Nobody's prepared. Like you said, the alarm doesn't even go off until like it's already there. And you can't see it because it's at night. And that's also very terrifying. And also The Shining is playing on screen, which makes things so much scarier. If I was afraid of any moment in this movie, I was more afraid of The Shining watching that little kid ride his bike down the hallway to those two ghost girls than anything else. And I also love how, like, you just can see the Shining plane still in the background.
And the parts, here's like, Johnny part is when the yes! tornado rips it open. That was perfect. That was really perfect.
Good. Yeah. I think it's my favorite, like, movie within a movie reference. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so good that it destroys the screen right when the Here's Johnny scene plays. I love that part.
Yeah. My thought when I was rewatching it was, if they weren't there, would anyone there have been safe? Because they were just like, we have to, like, they figured it out. Like, the people who are watching the movie and the people who were not, like, in the concession stand, like, they didn't know what was happening until everyone was like, you need to get undercover now.
Yeah.
And that's when everyone realized what was happening. So, like, if they weren't there, would any of those people have been safe?
Hard to say. I mean, they were all too enamored watching Jack Nicholson on screen to notice a tornado, like, was like, oh, hey, guys, I'm here. So just, I think, because Bill and Joe have their sixth sense. And then also, like, even Melissa's, like, starting to pick up on it now, too, like, because this TV's, like, all go staticky, and then she, like, sees the wind blowing through the curtain, and she's like, I have a heightened sense for this stuff now, because I've been through it a lot today. Yeah. And then when they finally see the tornado, and this is obviously, like, the biggest, like, even, like, more, obviously it's big, the biggest one we've seen, but, like, bigger in the sense of, like, the first three all seemed kind of similar. They were all, like, little skinny mid-sized tornadoes, but this F4 is like mama. And that's when they all go hide in the garage pit, which is all, I think this is also, like, the scene to me that is the scariest, because, like, you're gonna also not only, like, maybe get sucked up into the tornado, but possibly crushed by cars and a drive-in sign, or decapitated with the hubcap that comes through and almost slices that guy's brain off. It was gnarly.
Well, that too, and it leads to her aunt, who
Meg.
Is, cause they're,
Aunt Meg,
because they're after they survived this, they see on the TV that it hit Wakita head on. And she was like, oh my gosh, Aunt Meg, so they have to get there. So, I mean, if they didn't see that, if they, like, didn't look at the TVs, like, would Aunt May even be around? See, I'm doing all these what-ifs right now. Like, yeah. they're saving everyone. They're, like, superheroes. They're tornado heroes.
Well, and you can understand, like, Joe's desperation in that moment, too, because then she's like, oh, my God, like, another family member who is going to possibly be killed from this. And she's, like, now having to relive the trauma and try to do what she can to save her aunt Meg. And even, like, the artwork that Meg has created is so cool. Like, she's made this, like, really cool metal artwork that makes noises in the wind that serves as a dual purpose for her to know, like, oh fuck, I need to, like, get into the basement, because these warning systems really just aren't, like, able to fully prepare me in order to, like, have time to get down into the basement. And this is also where we get to see, like, really, like, the drive-in scene was destruction, but then we see, like, really, like, full destruction of what has happened to this town in Wakita, where it's just, like, a complete disaster zone. And this is what I feel like people always see is the after the fact. Like, yeah, we've seen tornadoes, we've seen, like, those videos, but then oftentimes it's also always, like, just, like, houses completely destroyed and completely wiped out in a town.
Yeah, which makes it more real. And I'm going to skip ahead with, like, the F5. At the very end, you see the path and how wide it is.
Yeah.
And that really puts it in perspective of, like, this is massive.
This was, like, the first time I noticed that when they start, like, doing the credits at the end and they pan up and they show you. I was looking at, like, in the background of the, you know, what was going on. I was like, why does that look so different? And I was like, oh, that was the fucking tornado. Like, that was the literal destruction path of where it was going. So yeah, like, it creates so much damage. And the whole, like, them having to rescue Aunt Meg and Mose from the house at the end is also so scary. the TV almost falls on them and the foundation is like falling apart. And thankfully, though, they do like get them saved before the house like totally collapses in on itself. But yeah, like you mentioned, if they hadn't have seen that report, like what would have even happened to Meg? Because none of the like rescue responders were even like looking around there at the time.
No, they had to go get someone to help them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, thankfully Meg's all right. I do love when she's like, I'm fine. I'm totally fine. Everything's fine. I can just drive myself to the hospital. And I think it's a rabbit. He goes, your car is in a tree around the corner. And she goes, ugh. But yeah, again, like this is what really motivates Jo to keep doing what she's doing. And it's like, I feel really bad for Jo because she like feels like it's her fault almost. Like she's like, I should have been there. I should have like prevented this thing from happening to you. But there's no way to like know when it's going to hit, where it's going to hit. It's not in your control as much as you try to make it controllable.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of her whole thing. Like she just... It's like she wants to climb inside the tornado and control it and like find mm-hmm. her dad in there. And like, that's her whole thing. And it makes for a really good main character in this kind of movie. But as a human being watching it, it's like, oh my God, go to therapy. This sucks. Like you need help.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, yeah. Therapy would have been so beneficial. I wish like Melissa would have been like, here's my card. I know I only do reproductive therapy, but I can put you in touch with a really great trauma therapist who can help you unpack a lot of this stuff. Because I feel like the way they end the movie, not to skip everything else that happens before the end, but like she gets like to see the inside of the tornado, right? And she's like, oh my gosh, like I have catharsis. I finally know what it was like in here for my dad, maybe, I don't know. But it almost seems like she gets to like finally have that experience of being inside the tornado and like Dorothy working, which is also like really successful for them. But I feel like there's still so much more she needs to unpack and resolve versus like, okay, I lived inside the tornado, I'm all healed.
Well, not even just talking to a therapist, like literally just open up to your closest friends.
Yeah.
Like you have a support system, use them.
Mm-hmm.
And she just, definitely. She doesn't talk about her feelings, not to her friends, not to her husband, not to anyone that cares about her, is close to her. Like she's just building up. It's like she is a tornado about to blow up.
That's deep. That's deep, baby. So deep. But yeah, then we get the F5, as we've kind of already mentioned here, which like this like lasts for 20 minutes, if not longer. Like there's so much that happens in these last moments with the Big Mama tornado. And again, like I guess like they do learn a little bit about what they should and shouldn't do with Dorothy in these moments, because they get a whole bunch of aluminum Pepsi cans and make little hats for them. And I was like, I guess they could only find Pepsi because people like Coke more. I don't know.
I'm a Coke girly, but I'm sure Pepsi paid a good bit to be in there.
Mm-hmm. Good for them, you know. Saving the day, Pepsi. But not even Pepsi can help a big tree knocking down Dorothy, the one Dorothy that they use that gets knocked over again. But yeah, there's just so much that happens in this moment. We talked about the big oil truck, the house, the dodging of the tractors as they're falling down. Do you guys have a favorite of those crazy moments?
I'm a big fan of the house, just yeah. Because he's like, for two reasons. I think we're going in. And then as soon as they come out, just that little teddy bear goes squeak and just like off of the windshield. I'm like, that's the best part.
Yeah,
I would have to agree. I think the house, it's just the most like visually intense, I feel like. And it I'm mixing it up right now, even though we just rewatched it, but isn't it in the F5 that the bad guy gets all slurped up? That's probably my favorite part personally. Jonas. I was thrilled once again, just like with the dad in the beginning where I was like, thank God. I was like, this is great. Courtney was devastated when we watched it. She was really upset about it because of the driver guy who's nice.
Yeah. Eddie really got the shit end of that because not only is like they're both being sucked up, but Eddie got impaled.
Yeah.
His whole body
final
impaled
destination
by...
suddenly. Like, yeah. It's the log truck.
And he questioned Jonas the whole time. He was like, we should probably listen to Bill. We probably should do this. Like, he was trying to be a good person. Yeah. And then he's the one that fucking gets impaled and twisted up, you know?
Yeah. It's twisted.
Twist me up, daddy, you know?
Twist me up, daddy. Yeah, I wrote, when Jonas dies, wah, wah. Like, I'm not really too upset.
That's how I feel. I was like, this is great. This is a good. Yeah. I'm so happy about this.
You're like rooting for the twister. Like, yeah. Get him.
Way to go.
Yeah. You go, girl.
Good job.
And that's feminism. but, yeah. I mean, we just talked about the squeaky teddy bear that comes across the windshield. I love when the car nosedives and it just goes, and then like it does like the literal sound effect you would think when something's falling and then explodes.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. I used to always think that I also saw body parts flying in that moment. I don't think that's what happens, but it looked like, I'm sure, I mean, they blew up, so I'm sure some body parts were scattered in the midst.
That's actually a conversation that Clarice and I had while we were rewatching, is like, when you're sucked up, do you come out in pieces? Oh. Or like, and I'm just like, well, in torn? F1, it's probably, you know, your full body's intact. But like, as it progresses, it's just pieces are flying off. And in F5, you're just exploded.
Confetti.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That reminds me. So when I was watching the little featurettes, Bill Paxton was being interviewed after the fact. And with the cow scene, he said he had a much darker idea for what should have happened to the cow. He was like, I feel like the cow should have exploded and then it should have rained hamburger meat.
What a psychopath. Oh my God.
I love Bill.
He goes, wouldn't that have been like so cool? I'm like, maybe, I guess.
It would have become a different movie if there was like bloody carnage in the air.
That's what happened to all of Meg's cows. They got sucked up and turned into hamburger meat.
Oh, I think I would have been traumatized about a different thing when I was a child, and I probably wouldn't eat hamburger meat at all.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I think that's a fair question. Like, when you're sucked up into a tornado, depending on the speeds. I mean, there's a whole, let me look it up, because like there's a whole explanation about wind speed when it comes to like the Fujita scale. It was in IMDb trivia. Okay, so an F5 wind speeds are 261 to 308 miles per hour. So I feel like that could potentially wreck your shit.
Yeah, I wouldn't stand a chance.
No, I'd be like, just kill me now.
Yeah, go for the head meat first. Right here, that's me.
Which realistically, in the end, when they're tied up on the pole, they wouldn't have survived that, just being in that wind tunnel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Realistically. Definitely. But we're not realistic here. We're entertaining. And this is entertaining.
And this is a cool fucking scene, to be fair, too. Like, they've gotten the Dorothy to work finally. They sacrificed the red truck, which really is going to come back on their insurance later on.
Only liability.
Only. Yeah. don't know if they're covered for driving a truck into a literal twister, but that's for another movie to unpack. Maybe Twisters will unpack that too. But anyway, yeah, they run to the barn. First, they go into the serial killer barn with all of the knives and chains hanging everywhere. So that's not going to work very well for them. And then
you're,
they go to
like,
the tiny,
who are these people?
They're farmers, you know. They like, they also butcher their own hamburger meat and all of that, so it makes sense. But like, when I was little, I was like, oh my god, these guys are fucking psychopaths. Like, why are there so many dangling knives and crazy, crazy sharp things that will kill you. But yeah, then they go to the shed, and again, like, it is probably unrealistic what happens to them, but it is really cool that they get to see inside the Twister, and it's a little baby Twister inside. It's a little baby one spinning around there inside the big mama. She's pregnant.
Love that. I honestly think one of my favorite parts about this scene is that it is the culmination of all the sexual tension between Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton, because like you said at the beginning, they have such great chemistry, but every scene where they're like out chasing the tornadoes, that could just basically be a love scene. I mean, they're so like sexual in everything they do that this almost just feels like we get to watch them have sex, but not exactly. Yeah. It's like a metaphor, which
I mean,
I love love. I love a love story.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, absolutely. When they first get Dorothy successfully into the tornado and they are like, yeah, and they look at each other, I'm like, they're about to do it right now, right in front of the tornado.
I think I said that while we were watching it. I was like, they're going to bang right now. Even though I know they're not, that was the energy.
And the tornado would have felt awkward and would have just like turned around and like, let me not bother them. They're into it right now.
But then the Twister was like, hey guys, I'm also here. Let's like do it together. And threesome. That's when they get sucked up into the
threesome. Welcome to the suck zone. Am I right?
Ayo.
Someone's getting sucked up, if you know what I mean.
This is turning off to a weird place. Okay. I'm really sorry we're doing this to your podcast. We do it to our own, but
I thought about it when they were obviously both like very happy about the Dorothy getting, you know, sucked into the tornado, and they looked at each other. They did it to themselves, honestly. So they did it. We're just witnessing it and relaying the information. But I do really like that this scene in particular, when they're getting sucked up, is practically done. Obviously, like, yeah, the Twister's CGI added in later. But they basically like used a room. They built a stage and used a room and flipped it upside down. So actually, Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton are hanging down, but they flipped the camera, so it looks like they're getting sucked up, which is really cool.
That's cool. For some reason, I was thinking they had like strings on their legs and then they were lifted up. I don't know.
Like that makes way more sense. Like the Bye 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 video. I'm just picturing the NSYNC puppets when you say that.
Bye, bye, bye. Oh my gosh, that's funny. But yeah, I thought it was really cool, a really cool way for them to like do this practically where, and now that I look at it, knowing that, I was watching it again last night and I was like, oh yeah, it does look like they're hanging down in certain moments, but when it's like more so on their face, not like the wide body shot where they're obviously like getting pulled up, but I think that's really cool that they figured out a clever way to make that look real.
That's cool. Mine was a horrible idea.
What? Yeah, minus that.
Yeah.
I was very much like, I feel like, is this why, maybe not this is why, but this is why I feel like I should get into a bathtub when tornadoes are nearby, because the pipes go down far enough that I feel like, well, the bathtub will stay intact, and also I can crouch down far enough that if any debris hits, it'll just hit the rim of the bathtub and I'll be safe inside.
I always heard that growing up, like when we had like, I don't know why they gave us tornado education where we live, but they did, and they were always like, get in a bathtub, and that's been in my head forever. Also, sometimes when I get in the bathtub, my back gets suction cupped. We've talked about this on our podcast. So nothing could tear me away from the from the bathtub when I'm suction cupped in.
Yeah.
Not even an F5.
Not even an F5.
No. Nope.
The F5's weakness.
Yeah. The suction cup of my back fat.
Why you fooled again? Foiled
finally
again.
Finally coming in handy though, you know.
Yeah. And this is why we all need bathtubs.
Agreed.
Speaking of like tornado drills and stuff like that, like my school had tornado drills where we would go into the hallway and like duck.
We didn't.
Why did we have that?
Yeah, that was same here. Like, we would go in the hallway and duck. I guess because you're supposed to, like, get in, like, the innermost part of a building and then obviously duck because of debris that could fall in. You're supposed to protect your head. But, yeah, like, I don't know.
But, I mean, where you live makes sense, right? Midwest. Oh, but where we live.
Oh, I gotcha.
Doesn't make sense. We should do fire drills.
Yeah. It's basically like giving us a volcano drill. Like, it's not going to help. Like, it's never going to happen. Mm-hmm. But I guess anything to not teach us how to do our taxes. Just anything to not teach us real stuff.
Oh, I thought you said anything can happen. We just had to do our taxes.
No, well, that's also true. Also true. But no, like, anything to teach us not to do our taxes. Like, anything else. Yeah. Recorders, tornado drills, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Recorders.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. No, I mean, my parents talk about how, like, when they were taught during the nuclear age, like, just get under your desk and cover your head. Like, that's going to help you from atomic
nuclear bomb.
Mm-hmm. No, thank you. But yeah, that's the end. Joe and Bill make out. That pretty much is, like, they're all of their relationship troubles are solved because they got to have this very climactic experience and they're healed. They're all good now. So
if I were the family that lived on that farm, I would look over, see two people making out and just a bunch of other people like, hooray, what the fuck's happening on my yard?
Oh my God. Yeah, I would too. I'd be like, what the heck? I do like the house, like, stands. Like, the house, it looks banged up on the outside, but at least it's still, I don't know how structurally safe it is anymore, but at least it's still got, you know, a roof over its head.
Yeah, so the family's good. They survived. Yeah. The horses were still running around afterwards.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. We know in the Midwest, like, if there's a tornado, like, you're supposed, and you have horses, like, let your horses run free, because then they can run away from it. Like, don't let them, don't, like, try to, I think that's a thing. I mean, I feel like I've heard that. Don't let your horses, like, be stuck in the barn. Let them run wild so they can try to get away from the tornado.
Makes sense.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That cow, though. That cow was stuck in the barn. It didn't
stand a chance.
Yeah. Okay, is there anything else we want to talk about before we get into segments?
I'm good.
I think we covered it all.
I think the last thing I'll just mention, because I know we have talked about Twisters a little bit, is that it, as I mentioned, I'm not sure if it's a sequel or a remake still. I have heard Legacy sequel, so I'm assuming it's a sequel. But it is coming out July 19th. Anybody who wants to, like, go see the next big summer blockbuster, it's there. And apparently, like we mentioned, there's going to be possibly a family connection. Like, I've read that Daisy Edgar Jones is rumored to be the daughter of Joe, and she and Glenn Powell are going to attempt to recreate the Dorothy experiments, possibly. So, I don't know. There's really not a lot known about this plot, so it really could be anything.
It's probably
twisters. Yeah, I will be watching. I will be tuning in. I'm very excited. Okay, so our first segment is Dufflick. This is pretty much where we get to ask a lot of rhetorical, silly, fun questions. We've already asked a lot. My biggest one, though, is why Dufflick did Bill bring Melissa along to begin with? This is dumb.
Yeah, I'll piggyback off of yours. My Dufflick is, why did Melissa stay that long?
Her, yeah,
like,
she said,
just, like, signing up, like, when she left after the drive-in tornado, I was like, you should have done this at the beginning. You are not supposed to be here. If it were me, if my partner was like, hang on, let's go chase tornadoes really quick, even though we just came here to get papers signed, no. Absolutely
hell
not.
No.
I'll see you never.
So I'll see you never.
Well, in the beginning, because she said, no, this seems fun, I think I'll tag along. Mm-hmm. That was her decision.
Yeah, yeah, that's a,
and
what
I
the
think,
flick. What is going
right.
on?
But,
idiot.
I mean, if you think about it, like, she has no idea what she's getting into. So the idea of it does sound a little fun, right? So she was there
to
tag along.
We wanted
to
be
along.
Storm chasers. Like, we were excited by the idea.
Yeah.
I was not.
But I think,
I was like, no.
I think why she didn't leave sooner was because she really wasn't given the opportunity, because Joe and Bill were in a car by themselves the rest of the time, and she was like, she couldn't get a word in edgewise. Like, she couldn't say, I need to get the fuck out of here, until there was enough time of relaxation for her to be like, you go, I'm never going to see you again.
Yeah. I know why they had Melissa come along, because she, like, serves as exposition, because she's the one who, like, I don't know anything, so we can explain everything to Melissa, and we're also explaining it to you, the audience, which I think is, like, a good choice. But if this was real, I would be like, Bill, if she said, I think this is fun, you should have warned her, no, this is a lot, and I think it'd be better if you maybe went somewhere else, and I will catch up with you. But then also, I think Melissa was very skeptical of Bill and Joe, because she was like, I see what's happening here. Like, you two are... she knows Joe is still in love with Bill, and I love how she calls her out on it in the diner. And then she hears their conversation later, so she's just like, you know what? I'm going to remove myself from this situation, because that's the healthy thing for me to do, and... good for her.
That's probably why she went to begin with. She was probably like, you know what, if you're gonna do these divorce papers, let me go with you, let me just tag along. Yeah.
But yeah, I have a few other deflicts, but I want to open it up to you guys. What deflick moments did you potentially have?
Clarissa, I'm sure you have more than me. I just accepted it for what it was, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I said my one, you know, about, like, why did she stay so long? Like, what the heck? Mm-hmm. I wanted the marbles. Like, I understand what they're supposed to be, but the fact that they're, like, little circles that are coming out of Dorothy into the tornado.
Oh, I was like, marbles.
That's what I called them. I don't know what they're supposed to be, but, like, I don't know. Like, I understand that the science can't be too sound, and I'm okay with that, but I just don't understand why they went with that. So that's a little bit of a why the flick for me. Like, I get it, but I also kind of don't. I don't know.
So
it's a mild
one. Did read... like, the Dorothy thing is based on real science, apparently. It's, what? Like, that's what, like, inspired the script in a lot of ways. So, like, and then some of the cast actually went storm chasing with the National Severe Storms Laboratory, NSSL, which they, like, talked about a lot in the movie. But Dorothy is based on a real machine called TOTO. Totable Tornado Observatory, it's an acronym, and it is, like, a very similar barrel. It contained weather instruments to measure pressure and humidity sensors, and the idea was similar, like, place it on the back of a truck bed and deploy it near a tornado. But they retired it in 1987 because it was really dangerous to do that. So, yes,
who as knew? We can see.
Yeah. So there is, like, some precedent, I guess, for this to exist, but this ties into my flick, why deflick moment, is why deflick, don't they have a patent on Dorothy? Because then Jonas could have gotten sued for duplicating it. Like, why didn't they, like, say, like, copyright that?
That's true. I don't have an answer for that one.
I don't think we're supposed to.
See? Could have been. I know one of Courtney's. And I love how, like, oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I know one of Courtney's why the flicks, if she's forgetting, was the why when Bill has to go into the back and hit a bunch of buttons for Dorothy, why then does Helen Hunt just have to, or Joe, sorry, why then does Joe just have to go and flip a switch and it's over? Like, her dangerous job is significantly less. She talked about that so much.
That is my why the flick.
That's fair. That is fair. Like, I can only maybe think that they did all the button pushing maybe before, so, like, they were fully prepared, then all they had to do was flip a switch, but also I don't think that is what happened in the movie.
No, because it's hailing, it's raining, she's driving, he's, like, all the way in the back, like, playing with all the straps and pressing all the buttons and getting... he's bloody because all the hail on his hands, and, like, it's like a 10-minute whole thing, And yeah. then when it's her turn, she's sitting on like the windowsill and is like, boop, done, boop. Ready.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
In addition to putting a bunch of cut up Pepsi aluminum cans on the sensors, they also had time to reconfigure the electrical settings to make it just be a flip of the switch. No, that's not what happened, but just trying to give some sort of explanation as to why that's so easy. It's because it's Helen Hunt, and Helen Hunt's like, all she has to do is like flip a switch, and we're gonna put poor Bill Paxton through the ringer with getting hit by hail, hit by debris, and also get his head smashed into the back of the truck when she breaks too hard and he hits himself.
I mean, also, how did drilling holes and putting nails in these little sensors not ruin them?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It feels like there's some sort of structural damage that would have happened to make the sensors not work. Also, when the sensors get released, it sounds like Christmas bells ringing. I don't know if you guys caught that. It's like, and I was like, it's now a Christmas movie.
Well, they did when the sensors were, and he was like, it's like Christmas time. Like, they literally said that.
Yeah. Oh, did he really? Oh, I missed that. That's yeah. funny. Oh, love that. Okay, my last deflick, and then we can move on, is where deflick is Joe's mom. Like, we see Aunt Meg, but we don't know what happened to her mom. And I'm also curious, which side of the family do you think Aunt Meg is on? Do you think it's on Bill's side or Joe's side? I guess it's Joe's side because she knows her since she was a kid, so that solves that. But yeah, I'm very curious where Joe's mom is in this situation.
Maybe she got twisted up too and we just don't know. Maybe that's why she's so sad. Like, okay, yeah, my dumb dad, but my mom also.
Yeah, she died of a broken heart
in a tornado.
I never thought about that. I never thought about her mom once. The millions of times that I've watched this movie, not once did I think about her mom.
Well, now you do, and you're like, where is she? I don't know. That's what I was going to... I'm not wondering what side of the family Bill or Joe's Aunt Meg is on, but is Aunt Meg on Joe's mom's side or Joe's dad's side?
I would say Joe's mom's side because she seems smart. And we know that Joe's yeah. dad is a big moron.
Yeah.
So, and she loves her dog. Fair. And Joe's dad yeah. hated his Did dog. Not. So
you're putting words in this dad's mouth.
No, I'm not. His actions speak louder than any words he could have said.
His concern as a father was to get his daughter safe.
His daughter had legs. She was like 6 years old.
And then mom was carrying Joe,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he was just running. Somebody could have scooped up the dog, and then he closed the door on the dog. And then when Joe was like, Dad, my dog, he seemed annoyed. So he hates his dog, and it's good that he's dead. And Aunt Meg doesn't hate her dog, so I can't think that they're related.
Mm, they are dog
That's my
people.
Reasoning.
I like that. I think that makes sense. Also, originally the father was not even gonna die. He was gonna survive, but Spielberg was like, no, he needs to die to establish Joe's trauma. So, good choice, Spielberg. Thank
Me
you
and Spielberg
that.
Are like this now.
Yeah, you're like this. Okay, so Dick of the Flick. I mean, there's really only one bad guy, I guess you could say, other than
the dad.
My dick of the flick is the dad. So I know it's Jonas, but it's the dad.
I was like, over Jonas? Okay. Hot take.
Yeah, well.
I Are love you saying my the dick of the flick isn't the F5 tornado?
No.
That
the tornadoes
is
are
take.
Not the dicks here. They are just doing their thing and the humans are in the way. So
that's true.
I think I think in a lot of these, like, we could, for like this natural disaster month I'm doing, like, I've been trying to avoid making the dick the storms because I'm like, well, they're just storms and it's just Mother Nature, and I would never insult Mother Nature by calling her a dick. So I'm trying to find other people who are, I mean, yeah, she can be a dick, but she's not the dick, you know what I mean?
Well, if Courtney gets swept up in a tornado, we'll know why she angered Mother Nature.
I dream about it all the time.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah. I dream about tornadoes all the time.
She's actually obsessed. Like, I don't think people understand. Like, it is not just a bit for the pod. She is obsessed with Twisters.
That's so cool. I mean, it's sad that you dream about getting sucked up. I'm sorry about that. But it is cool.
I'm never sucked up.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's good. It's very much like me. I'm obsessed with Jurassic Park, and sometimes I still get reoccurring nightmares of a T-Rex chasing me, but I love dinosaurs, so it tracks.
Yeah, it's normally like, how can I get my cats in the basement? That's what my dream's about.
Gotcha. That's a good. You're preparing yourself for the inevitable tornado that, in a one-off chance, might occur in your area, and you need to know what to do.
Well, there was an earthquake in New Jersey, so I guess a tornado could happen.
Anything can happen. And anyway, so yeah, like, I think Jonas, for me, dick of the flick, it's pretty dickish to steal someone's idea. Then also, like, copy everything that guy is doing because you don't know what the fuck you're doing. And then also not listen to said guy when it really matters. Like, this is when you should be listening to the tornado whisperer expert. But, you know, he got what was coming to him. I feel bad for Eddie, but sacrifices had to be made.
Yeah.
I do think Bill and Joe are kind of dicks to some extent.
I would agree with you. They're, like, selfish, and, like, he just keeps forgetting that Melissa's there. That's also why I'm like, you could have left. He wouldn't have even noticed until the end of the movie. Maybe not even then.
Yeah. He would have been like, wait, where is
Melissa?
Wasn't
someone with me?
Yeah. Didn't I come here with someone? Oh, well. I guess we're not engaged
anymore.
I'll
just bang Joe in the middle of this tornado.
Well, that whole scene, he was just like, I'm happy with Melissa. Melissa, I know her name.
Like,
oh my god,
he's a
that
dick.
Was so awkward.
Like,
yeah.
He is a dick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely. There's a lot of dicks to go around here in this movie, for sure.
True.
Lots of dumb dick behavior. Okay, so how many flicks do we give? I'm gonna give, like, some context for this before we get into our ratings, but at the box office that year, it grossed nearly $500 million worldwide. It came in just behind Independence Day for, like, best movie of the year. And then in terms of awards, it was nominated at the Oscars for best sound and best visual effects, but lost visual effects to Independence Day. So double whammy there. I think they were robbed. I like Twister, I think, a lot more, I think, than Independence Day. But I'm biased, clearly.
Oh, I'm biased as well, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, what, you can just blow up the White House. Anybody can do that. But, you know, I mean, who can make six, seven tornadoes look real? Come on.
Exactly.
And a cow.
The cow really should have, like, clinched the win for him.
Yeah, I think so.
Best supporting actor.
Yes!
The cow.
Was the cow. Yeah, I do love animal actors in movies, and the dogs too, like, great animal actors, both real and CGI, I'll say. But anyway, so it did win some awards. It won a BAFTA for Best Achievement in Special Visual Effects. It won Best Action Sequence at the MTV Movie and TV Awards. And quite possibly the best award ever, it won Favorite Movie at Kids' Choice Awards. So... That's pretty good.
It won Favorite Movie in my heart, so
yeah,
nothing can compare.
Same. Okay, so on IMDb, this movie has a 6.5 out of 10, and then on Rotten Tomatoes, it has a 63% from critics and an abysmal 58% from audiences. I was under the impression that everyone liked this movie, and now I've realized some people apparently are haters, so we're all entitled to our opinions, but 58% seems a little harsh to me, personally. But in terms of how many flicks do we give out of five, I open up the floor to you both. Courtney, why don't you go, because I feel like you have a very high rating.
I do have a very high rating. I was going to say five, but simply because of a few errors in plausibility, I'll give it a 4.8.
Okay. Fair. I think that's fair.
Oh, is it me? Okay.
Clarissa, yes.
Okay. waiting I'm with bated breath. I'm going to give it a solid 4.
Okay.
Because there are those errors in plausibility, and it is not, like, my favorite kind of movie. But mm-hmm. what I like about it is even though there are, like, you know, some weird dialogue and some gaps and all the things that we could shit on movies for, it's not trying to be anything other than what it is. I hate when movies do that, but they're trying to be, like, I don't know, Citizen Kane or something. This is not trying to do that. This is just trying to be a fun disaster movie with tornadoes and sexual tension. And it nails it. So I'm going to say a good 4. It's solid for what it is. An F4, truly.
Ooh, yeah. And F4 was my favorite one of the all the tornadoes. So yeah. I have gone back and forth so much because I'm like, when I think of Twister, I'm like, it's my favorite natural disaster movie. Like, it's right up there with, like, Dante's Peak. Like, those are, like, my favorite disaster movie experiences to watch. And then when I was like, okay, well, audiences don't seem to like this very much. Like, did I fabricate this in my head that this is, like, the most amazing movie ever? And then I watched it again and I was like, no, this is fun. I have a fun time. What? Yes, there are plot holes and things that could be easily, like, fixed potentially or, like, explained away. But, like, all in all, like, I've been giving a lot of movies 5 out of 5. And I have to go with what's in my heart. And this movie is also a 5 out of 5 because I just love it so much. I think it's a fun time. I love the casting. I love the, like, whole journey. Like, I think it's so great that we get to see, like, all the different variations of tornadoes throughout the film. And I think, like, we talked about this when I covered the Poseidon Adventure last episode, that it seems like nowadays a lot of these kind of movies will sacrifice character development for just action, 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 like putting everything up on screen for your eyeballs. But I also think it's important to have these character moments. And I feel like we still get that with Twister because of Joe and Bill and Melissa and all of the, like, supporting cast. Like, we still get this, like, really heart-wrenching story of Joe's that, you know, for better or for worse, like, is included in the film. So I think for all of that, I'm going to give it an F5. Big mama F5, baby.
Yeah.
Yay. I loved revisiting this so much, and I will continue revisiting it again and again and again. It's so good. But Courtney and Clarissa, thank you so much for being on the episode today and unpacking Twister with me. I want to give you guys a chance to plug your podcast, plug anything you want. The floor is yours.
Well, thanks for having us. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed doing this. I know Courtney did. Gave her an excuse to watch Twister. I mean, obviously the podcast, you know, you can listen to us on all major podcast platforms every 30 Thursday. We're in the middle of our season 5 right now, so there's plenty of stuff coming up. We relive millennial nostalgia, movies, TV shows, and talk about everything that's going on our 30 journey, how we feel, good, bad, ugly, etc. And we're always making inappropriate jokes, so if you love that, you'll love it. And then you can find us on Instagram and TikTok at 30 Dirty and Dying for all of our other content as well. Courtney, did you have anything else?
No, that's it.
That's it?
Yeah. No, I really appreciate you having us on. I had a great time talking about the best movie ever. So,
oh, thank you. Well, I'm definitely going to link to your podcast, your socials in the show notes, so the Why the Flick listeners can easily find you guys. I highly recommend listening because love your banter, love your conversation. Each episode, I feel like it's like such a millennial focused podcast. I love it so much, and everything feels nostalgic when I listen to you guys. So it's a fun time for sure. And I love that you guys were able to come on and talk about one of the most millennial movies ever, Twister, with me today.
We were honored.
Thank you.
So for next episode, we will be wrapping up our Mother Nature is a Motherfucker month. So this will be the last film in our series. And for our last pick, we had to go big, guys. You know, we've experienced giant waves. We've experienced tornadoes now. And now we're going to experience both and then more because we're doing The Day After Tomorrow.
I love that movie so much.
I love it. We're not even going to be there, but we're going to be excited.
I'm
going to
be there in my heart, and I'm going to be listening for sure.
In your ear holes.
Yeah, everybody else should too.
Yay! I'm super excited. My sister Kelly is going to be joining me again. She came on the podcast last season, so we're going to be talking about this movie. Literally, like, I was talking to her about this monthly series I wanted to do, and I think I was actually talking to her about doing Twister with you guys, and she was like, well, are you going to do The Day After Tomorrow? And I was like, well, do you want to come on and talk about it with me? Because I thought about it. And she goes, yes. So we're both very excited to talk about this movie. And I feel like it's a great one to end this series because it is like super storm, extreme. Everything's hitting all at once. So there's a lot to talk about in that one. So I'm very excited.
May I make a recommendation for you? Not for this, but just in general to watch for two movies that are Mother Nature.
Mm-hmm.
One, it's another Twister movie. It's called Night of the Twisters.
I think I've seen that.
It's like a made-for-TV movie.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I've seen this.
It's like it starts with like some it's like a small town, and it's like these kids are at like this like carnival or something that's got like a fair that's happening in their town. And then, like, it's just, like, all night there's just twister after twister after twister.
Yep. I remember this. I definitely want to go back and rewatch this. This one also came out in 1996, same year as Twister. Now it's Night of the Twisters. And the stars Devon Sawa. Devon Sawa's in this, guys. Holy crap. Yeah, I definitely need to revisit this. Okay, but continue.
Another one, which I just brought up to Clarissa on Friday, it was like a fever dream in my head. It's called Volcano.
Yes!
Do you remember that?
Yes, I just watched, it was on TV yesterday, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna turn this on. I've seen it many times. Yes, I also love Volcano with, what's his name from Men in Black? Now I'm going to just Google it.
Really Tommy quick. Lee Jones. Yeah.
But yes.
Yes, Tommy Lee Jones.
Yes. Tommy Lee Jones. Yes.
Yep. It's a, like, I just, all I remember, because I can't tell you the last time I watched it. I think I've only watched it once, and it was like on TV, is I just remember the scene when they're in like the metro station and like the lava's coming in. That's all I remember. I thought it was a fever dream, but I'm glad you watched it, and I know what I'm talking about.
Many times. It's like a volcano erupts in downtown LA and crazy antics ensue. It's so good. It's fun. And yeah, the metro scene is very traumatizing when you watch
it. That was also the 90s. I think, what was it, like 98 or something?
This was 97. I'm also going to, I'm just going to personally plug Dante's Peak, which also came out in 1997, apparently. So 1997 was the year of the volcano. 96 was the year of the Twister. I don't know anything else beyond that, but I do love me some Dante's Peak because it has Pierce Brosnan in it. But anyway, yes. So many other great recommendations for natural disaster movies. I wish we could get to them all. Maybe we will in another installment of this monthly series, but definitely, like, this is one of my favorite genres for sure. So that brings us to the end of this episode. If you like listening, please make sure to subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, leave a review, tell your friends about Mother Nature is a Motherfucker Month. We all experience Mother Nature in some form or fashion. So see, we have our finger on the pulse. We're very relatable over here at Why the Flick. And then you can also follow us on social media at Why the Flick on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and Letterboxd. So once again, Courtney and Clarissa, thank you so much for coming on. It was so much fun.
Thank you.
All right. Well, until next time, everyone. Bye.